Ron. At this time, I would like to introduce our hometown speaker, Stephanie M. from Palmdale.
Janie. If y'all can't see me, can you hear me? My name is Stephanie. I'm a grateful alcoholic. First and foremost, I'd like to thank God for my life today, allowing me to be here another day clean and sober, alive and well and free. I also like to welcome our new friends to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and share with you that you don't ever have to take another drink for the rest of your life. All you have to do is be willing. And if you're sitting in this room and you're sitting in that seat, you just tapped into a power much greater than yourself. I also like to thank Charlie for asking me to come out and share my experience, strength, and hope. This is my debut, because I've never spoke in front of this many people. And I'm grateful to be here. We share in a general way what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I have to be honest today, because my sponsor's sitting in here. That's number one. I got to start off being honest and try to end being honest, too. Thanks for coming, sponsor. I love you. We share in a general way what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now. I come from a family of alcoholics. Tell them I'll call them back. Okay. I come from a family of alcoholics. It's 10 of us. I'm the baby girl of 10. And you know, when you're the baby, I don't know about you, but I kind of always got my way. You know, I was a spoiled little brat, you know, and for whatever reason, I had an older brother, you know, I remember my mother and my father used to have these parties, the card games, and I used to always see the Quarrel round, around Quarrel, sitting on the table, and vodka, and they playing cards, and Johnny Taylor's playing in the background, and B.B. King, I grew up on that era of music, and I still listen to Johnny Taylor and B.B. King. I love that music, you know, the Moses. And we used to have to always go in the back and go upstairs. We couldn't be around downstairs. And, you know, next thing you know, we upstairs playing, and we hear a lot of commotion. And next thing you know, there's a fight in the family. And everybody about trying to jump on my dad. My dad be the one to start the stuff all the time. And then my cousin there would tell my mom, B, we not coming over here no more, you know. Because James don't know how to act. Next week come, they back over there again. James doing the same thing over and over and over again. And, you know, to me, my dad was an abusive dad, but he was a loving dad. You know, he did. I realized doing my steps that he did the best he could with what he had, you know. And it's funny, I end up in a relationship just like my mom. With my dad, an abusive relationship. And I remember saying I would never be in a relationship like that. My mother never left my dad. I thought that was normal, you know. And I end up in a relationship just like that. You know, my mother never left my dad, so I figured that was the way to show love, you know, a man show you love, you know, by beating on you and telling you he's sorry and he won't do it again, and you know. But I'm a survivor from that. I'm not a victim, you know, because I don't let that stop me from being who I am today as a woman, you know. And so, you know, most of the time after the party was over, he'd start off fighting with my cousins, he coming in and just antagonize us, you know, and start whooping us. We don't even know what for, because somebody played with the toy too long, or somebody told this, and you know, next thing you know, when one got in trouble, we all got in trouble. Not just one, just all of us, you know. And I started off real young in life. You know, after I graduated from the sixth grade, I got pregnant. And I had my daughter at 13. And I had an older brother. For whatever reason, I don't know, he teased me. And teased me real bad. Called me all kind of names and just antagonized me. And you know, it made me feel like I wasn't a part of my family. I started stepping outside of my mama's house and hanging out with gangs and hanging out at motorcycle clubs. I love motorcycles. You need motorcycle drivers? Okay. I don't know. That's another meeting. Not the way I wear it. Let me back up. Any bikers in here? I end up, you know, and this older brother that teased me, and this goes to show you that I had a problem way before I even put the substance in my body or drink in my body. When my brother teased me, I got fed up with him teasing me. I went in my mother's kitchen and got a knife, and I stabbed him. And I'm not here to say that I'm glad I stabbed him, but it worked. He stopped teasing me. Woo! Yes, he stopped teasing me. I got him off me. He beat me up, but I got him off of me. I got him to stop teasing me, you know. And it made me feel like I wasn't a part of my mom's family. I felt like I wasn't a part of it. I start reaching outside my mama's home, and like I say, this is before I even took a drink, and then I had my daughter at 13, so 14, 15, 16, you know, I'm outside my mama's house, and I'm hanging out with my older siblings at house parties and all that, and, oh, you used to go to parties then back then, golly, you can't even go to a house party now, okay, wouldn't catch me at a house party. Anyway, that's another story, too. And I end up hanging out with my older siblings at parties, and you know, I just got into life early. You know, I like I said, I had my daughter at 13, and her dad was 15. We were together for like 8 years. We stayed together for many years, and he's still a good dad to this day. You know, and I don't regret nothing I did back then. You know, I have a beautiful daughter. She's 45 now, and don't matter how old I am, she's 45. That's all y'all need to know. My daughter's 45, you do the math. I need to also let y'all know I suffer from mental blank spots, so if I just start, just black out and don't remember where I left off of, just excuse me. I'll come back. My brain left my body, but it might come back, it might not. But, so let's just clear that up too. So I had my daughter, and I don't regret none of that, you know. I got into this wonderful relationship with this guy who was very, very, very abusive to me. And I thought he was going to be the man of my life, my husband, for the future husband and all that. And turned out, you know, I didn't leave that guy after he beat me so many times and told me he was sorry and he wasn't going to do it no more. And I did just like my mama did. She didn't leave my daddy. She eventually left my dad, but for years she stayed with her, you know. And I did the same thing, you know. And this guy introduced me to other party favors, you know. I qualified for crack cocaine and other substances as well, you know. But, is my time up? Time I hear a beeper or a timer, I think time up. Okay. And so introduced me to some other hard drugs, and my life was off and running, you know. I end up, my drink was Old English, and let me tell you, it's the nastiest beer in the world. I don't know about anything else, but I know that's some nasty stuff. Woo, Lord Jesus. And I didn't drink for the taste. I drank for the fact. It got me there quick, got me where I want to be, gave me courage, had me do things that I wouldn't normally do. A few times I woke up with ET and didn't know how I got there, and then said I wasn't going to do it again. And next thing you know, the following weekend, I'm waking up with ET again. And it's just a pattern. It's just a continued pattern for me, you know. And I end up just going out. My life just went downhill from there. You know, I end up, Old English took me to the streets of 69th and Figueroa, standing on a corner, hoping somebody helped me get some change, and I could do something strange just to get another one. I had that gut and my stomach boiling, and I needed one, and the obsession was just phenomenal, and a man came up to me and said, "Hey, you want to do something?" And I said, "Hey, yeah." And he said, let's go in this alley over here. And I said, like I had good common sense, I said, no, I'm not going in that alley, but let's go in back of this house. Like that was a great idea. And proceeded to go in back of that house with that man. And when I got back there and turned around and to do what I was getting ready to do, he had a long machete like this. And when I seen it, I took off running real fast as I can go. And he caught me and he stabbed me in my back. He stabbed me in my shoulder. I got a deep cut, in my right shoulder where he stabbed me at. And it stabbed me so deep that I had to have stitches inside and out. And when I was running from him, I fell. And he came over me with that knife and he said, "I'm gonna kill you, B." And all I can do was scream. That's all I can do. I don't know if any of y'all ever heard of that movie called The Screaming Woman. Well, that was me that night. I screamed so loud and didn't even know I had it in my lungs to scream so loud. Because I had been up for days and days and days, hadn't bathed, hadn't changed clothes, just out there. And I remember when my mother and my daughter came to the hospital to see me and asked what happened. And I for the life of me, I don't know, you know, we are genius people, you know. I came up with a quick lie. I said, "He was looking for our address." "I don't know. I was just trying to give him my address, Mama." Lied just so quick. I couldn't tell him that I was out there selling my soul, trying to get another drink, trying to get some more smoke, more drugs. I couldn't tell him that. And then I try to get sober on my own, but I found out that don't work. I stopped for 30 days after that incident, and I went back around in my old places and old friends, and I end up back doing the same old thing again, you know. And then what they talk about in the book, it talks about how it get worse, never better, and it got worse. And this incident happened next time that happened to me. I didn't even realize, I don't even remember to this day why it happened. All I know is the man tried to kill me. He ran me over in his car 5 times. He backed it up, ran me over, backed up, ran me over, backed up, ran me over. 5 times, 5 or 6, 7 times. And by the time I got to the hospital, my face was unrecognizable. And he put me in a coma. He put me in a coma for 2 weeks. I had brain damage. I still got brain damage. That was a joke. Y'all could be laughing. They told me laughter was a sign of identification. Yeah, so I was in Martin Luther King in LA for a whole month. After I left Martin Luther King, I had to go to Rancho, and if, I don't know if any of y'all ever heard of Rancho and Downey, Rancho Los Amigos is a rehabilitation place, good place. And I had to go there, and they had to, they sit me in front of a therapist and little key cards and little words like it and the. I had to read because I couldn't remember. I could remember faces, but I couldn't remember names. And I stayed there for a month and a half. And I came up out of there. I had to have a cast on my left leg, because when I was up under the car was still running when the man got out and ran. And the car was still running, and it burned my left foot. My arm got burned as well. And after I got up out of there, I was, yeah, one more time. I'm tired of being sick and tired, Mama. I'm tired. I'm done with this lifestyle, you know. And I, let me share with you that each time I, beer and drugs go hand in hand with me. I can't do one without the other. If I drink, I gotta have something else. If I smoke, I gotta have something to drink. It goes hand in hand. So I'm not gonna convince myself or try to tell myself that I can just be a nice little drinker now. Just drink. No, I can't. My sobriety birthday, I'm sorry about that, is July 8, 1992, and for that I'm forever grateful. I got out of there and I told myself again, I'm done. I'm done with this lifestyle, and not knowing that all along that God knew that, you know, I wasn't done yet. I had another run in me. My mother ended up taking custody of my daughter because I was just messing up the money. And you know, you think you'd be sad or something like that, but I was glad. Because I had no responsibilities now. I can run the streets freely. And I came into the rooms tired of being sick and 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 tired. And that's when I went to my mother, who was my neighbor, and told her, Mama, I'm tired. I want some help. We had to put me in a program. I called a few programs, and they only had outpatient. I said, oh, no, Mama, I don't need to be outpatient. I need to be locked up, throw away the key, because that beautiful mother of mine, I was taking money from her and my child just to feed my need. So I went into that program, I went into Council West in LA, and I stayed there for 4 months, but I stayed in there long enough to grab onto some tools on what to do when the session and the thought comes. Call on God, call your sponsor, and get to a meeting. We don't pick up no matter what. And then, you know, the promises came true in my life. You know, the promises came true. I forgot AA and God had gave me all these materialistic things because I started taking credit for that stuff. I got the man, the job, the car, the new car, the apartment, and I have arrived. Don't you know? Look what I have accomplished. And I remember so clearly telling myself after a couple of years of living life that I was just going to be sober. I'm not going to do what them people say do. I'm not going to get no sponsees. I'm not going to get a commitment. I am not going to be of service. And I did that for 13 years until I realized that I had some character defects that I didn't know I had.
Hi, Rita.
I didn't realize I had. And my number one character defect is anger. I said I was going to stop sharing this because that's probably why I'm still single. I ain't got nobody. Shoot. And I be weak in that motherfucker. Still ain't getting nowhere. But it's my truth. You know, I gotta share it. It's my truth, you know. It's my story. You know. And I took the, I ended up, got angry. I had an incident happen with me and my sister boyfriend, and I was full flight from reality. And I ended up taking the law in my own hands. With 13 years clean and sober. Well, I don't know about clean, but I was sober. Dry, sobriety, or dry body, or whatever you want to call it. When the incident happened, I went to my apartment. I went back to my apartment and got my gun and went to his apartment and shot him. I did this sober. I fought the case for like 6 months, and they gave me 8 years. And I did those 8 years, and I did it sober. I don't get emotional because I went through that. I get emotional because God saw fit to get me through that. Thank God for AA, who gave me a God of my understanding. I had something to stand on while I was in there. Because it was really hard. It was really hard. It was really hard. The first couple of years was really, really hard. You know, I was away from my family, my grandkids. Don't give me no tissue. I don't want to dry these tears. Let these tears roll. Because these are tears of gratitude. Thank you. I end up, I didn't think I was going to make that. I didn't see it. I didn't see them 7 years. They gave me 8 years. I didn't see myself doing that many years in that place. It's a very hopeless sad place to be. I thought about suicide. I thought about taking my own life. But every time I planned it, God said, if you peace be still and know that I'm present, I need you to take this journey so you can go back out there and you can share it with somebody that might be thinking about not doing this thing called recovery. Because if you haven't been what I've been through, you put a yet behind it. Put a yet behind it. You're liable too. And somehow I made it through them days and them years, and God saw fit for me to turn it, you know, turn my, I told myself, the Spirit told me, if I don't do this time is going to do me. So with that, I start getting involved in everything that they had to offer me. Everything. You hear me? I went to Cinco de Mayo 2 years in a row hollering, Mexico! Mexico! I don't know what the hell I was saying or what I was at. I was just there, though. I was there. I enjoyed seeing their little culture and the dress, the way they dressed, the dance, and it was beautiful. I enjoyed it. It wasn't nothing about two other black folks in there besides me. And I'm in there hollering with them, Mexico! Then I start getting involved, and like I said, and all they had, these are certificates from when I was in prison. All these certificates. This certificate is for Uno. I won the Uno certificate. 3 sodas. Wait a minute now. This one was for the spelling bee. I don't even remember this one. Oh, wait a minute now. This is for the most improved student. Oh, this one was, oh, this, the first one first. This one was student of the month. And then the next one was most improved student. I mean, I improved months later. I got certificates for everything. Bible study, spelling bee, alternative to violence project, all kind of certificates. Bible study again. Oh, girl, I went all in. You hear me? I went all in. I even got one for where I work, PIA. I made the suits that we had on, that we wore. I sewed up the suits that we was wearing. Oh, girl, I went all in. You hear me? All in. And then God started using me. He started using me. I was the secretary the first time I ever got involved in the fellowship. I was the secretary for the CA and the AA meeting for three and a half years in a row until I paroled from there. The ladies elected me over and over and over again. Because I was getting my sister to send in resources and sober livings and programs and all that. And then I have this one letter, this young, I got a few letters here that I've had since before I left there. And this one particular young lady wrote me a letter. I'm going to read it real quick. Wrote me this letter and said, when she paroled, she wrote me a letter. And she said, Dear Miss Mary, that's my last name, I miss you like crazy. She said, I still often wonder where I might be if we hadn't met. You impacted my life more than you ever know. I'm not saying I always made the best decisions, but I'm human, and you taught me how to pick myself back up and not give up. So many times, I swear, looking back, you had to have carried me because I don't know how I got through a lot of things. I really love you. Just thinking about you brings tears to my eyes. And she dedicated a song to me on here, and she wrote it in this letter. And this is another young lady that was in the room with me, wrote a letter for our parole. She said, "Hi, Stephanie." She said, "God, I'm so excited for you. It's finally over. I wish you the best of luck. I also want to thank you for always being there for me." You know, because some ladies in there didn't have a voice, and I made sure that you're not going to bully anybody in here with me, you know, and you're not going to take advantage of anybody in here. And, you know, it was just a sad situation. There was another young lady here. I'm going to read this one, and then I'm going to finish up. I wish you many more. She was my birthday. She said, "Happy birthday, Miss Mary. I just want to say sorry for all of the trouble I caused. I just want to say that I learned so much from you, and even though I may not have seemed like it, but I have also grown a lot since I met you. I know I made some stupid mistakes, but I just want to say thank you for everything you thought I want to say thank you for everything you taught me. Again and again, I'm sorry for disappointing you. Happy birthday, love, Vivian." She was trying to go around the wrong road. Some long-termers in there was trying to get her to take some weed to the back. And I just told her, "You're not going to do that. You got a child to go home to. You got to get out of here. You know, no, that's not the route to take." When I came up out of there, I came up out of there with desperation. The only thing I could say when my folks called me on the phone, the only thing I could say, the great civil rights leader spoke words he spoke, that's the only thing I could say. "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last." I came up out of there with desperation, like only the dying can. And I tried to get a woman sponsor, but I didn't work out. And I found my sponsor at a meeting, said he sponsored women. And I said, "Could you sponsor me?" First thing he asked me, "Are you willing to go to any length?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he says, he gave me the set-aside prayer. And I had to say that set-aside prayer 10 times, and ten times a day. And he took me through the book and the process. And I'm so grateful for him. I know sometimes I don't always do the right thing, Greg, but I'm good. God got me. He got me, Greg. Because I'm a servant now, God damn it. Excuse my friend. You got to be where I'm being to understand. You better get a service. And you're going to check out again. Because I'm subject to go back again. You hear me? If I don't stay out of me and stop controlling shit, excuse my French, trying to control something. I don't want to control nothing. I don't even want to run across the street. I can barely walk, but I don't even want to run nowhere now. I thank God I'm free from bondage from self. Oh, thank God, I'm free. I'm free from hiding from the prison walls, and I'm free from within. Greg took me through the process, and I sponsor women now, and I'm of service. I don't have a commitment right now, but I have a partial commitment. Like, right, Deborah, my mama. I help her out with her commitment. And I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I came out of there with desperation, and I got involved in the process and been involved ever since. The first meeting I went to was the Grange. And it's been my home group ever since. I don't take this thing for granted no more. You know what I'm saying? I don't take it for granted. Freedom. I don't take it for granted. You know, I have a good life. You know, I don't want for nothing. I need a lot, but I don't want for nothing, though. I don't want for nothing. I don't need nothing. Every day I wake up in the morning and I'm free. Lord Jesus, my God, my God, gracious, mercy, saw fit for me to allow me to go to prison for 7.5 years and come back out of there still sober. Still sober. 32 years. When I paroled from there, I had 19 years. I stayed sober, and I seen all of it in there. All of it. From the weed, to the heroin, to the cocaine, to the nasty ass hooch, whatever. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, girl, they would drink that stuff and get the fighting out there and just, oh, like some real alcoholics up in here. It's and some dope fiends too. I'm like, goodness gracious. Woo! Oh, my God. My God. I am so grateful. I am so grateful. I'm so blessed. You know, I thank God when I got all these letters and stuff from these women in there, and it made that journey worthy for me. It made it worthy for me. God used me. He used me. I did bad, but He turned around and used it for good. And I don't regret none of it. Because He used me. He used me to help women get in programs and get in sober livings. And so, you know, today, I just suit up and show up. I just suit up and show up. Whenever asked, they say you don't supposed to turn down an AA request, and where I come from, you showed up. You showed up. Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life. Save a drunk like me. Save my life. I took the knowledge that I had because I wasn't working a program, but I had knowledge of the program. The easy does it one day at a time, let go, let God. I used all those slogans when I was in there. Because it was some really troubled times and hard times. And I seen a girl go in there, go to breakfast and come back out and got jumped on. Oh my God. She just went to breakfast. Came back in and three women come in the room and just jumped. Some she did to somebody's, the girlfriend to the girlfriend, some shit. So it was a constant praying, you know, it's a constant praying. And if you in a place like that, you're going to fight. Believe that. Don't think you're going to walk through it easy. I had 4 fights and never got caught for either one. Praise God. Because you lose your date and all that crap. You know, Charlie, how much time I got, baby? Because I'm long-winded. Right, Greg?
10 minutes.
Okay. When my sponsor took me through the process, I found myself in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't see the book up here. I found myself in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the part where it's High Works. It's at the, 54. You have a book?
I have a little baby book.
Oh, you have a baby book. All right. Look at God. When I, my sponsor took me through the process, and I found myself in the book. You see, because I'm the one that likes to control shit, and where I live is not my home. I just rent a room there, and I have OCD, so I want to have everybody have OCD in a house like me. I'm pointing fingers. Who dishes in the sink? Who messed up the rug? Who did this? Who did that? I can't find what I'm looking for in this little book, Mama. High Works 54, I think. And everybody in the house should have OCD too. I'm pointing fingers and you know, just controlling shit. This even after I'd come out of prison, still trying to run shit. Anyway, so I got, you know, I'm gonna control some things. Even after coming out of prison, hear me? I still ain't learned my lesson yet. And I would get into it with them women at that house and then call Greg, and Greg would say, "What happened?" I said, "She kicked the rug and didn't put it back. She done kicked the rug." And, you know, I'm like, "Bitch, it's B word, calling them B words and everything." And he said, What? He said, "What? That ain't none of your business." He said, he told me, he said, "Only thing you need to worry about is cleaning up the kitchen behind yourself and what's going on in your room." I said, "But if I don't say nothing, it ain't gonna be right." That ain't none of your business. And in the book, it talks about if everything, if people would just do like I like, everything will be fine. What page is that, Greg? 62? Yeah. That's me. That's me for real. I don't see it in here. This is a smaller book, so it might, I don't know. Yeah, but I'm the one. Oh, yeah, here it is. Each person is like an actor. That's me. I'm an actress who wants to run the whole damn show. Is forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in our own way. I want everybody to do it my way. His arrangements would only stay put. If only people would do as I wish, the show would be great. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. And trying to make the arrangements and the arrangements are acting may sometimes be quite venturous. That's me. If everybody in the house had OCD, everything would be fine. Everything would be okay. Okay. No, it don't work like that, Stephanie. It don't work like that. No. Everybody is an individual who has his own way. Everybody didn't grow up like I grew up. Everybody didn't learn how to clean like I cleaned. I had to learn that. And my sponsor told me, he said, now that you know better, you can do better. I do a lot better now. Sometimes it come up, you know, a little bit. But most of the time, I just do what I got to do, you know. And that's it. And it's called just being an example. You know, don't try to run the show and flip the rock, turn everything upside down to my liking. I really would like it to be that way, but it can't, you know. So, I don't know. I hope something was said or shared that'll keep you coming back to this program. If you're new, just stay. That's what I say. Just stay. You know, just stay. And ain't no gram better than the motherfucking program. Just stay. Drop the mic.
Let's thank